WATD's Political Forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
And good evening and welcome back to part two of our doubleheader here tonight. First up, we had the candidates for the first Plymouth District. Now we're going to the state Senate seat, and that is the Plymouth and Norfolk District. I'm Christine James, your moderator, asking questions with me. We've got Monday night talk show host and reporter Kevin Tachi and WATD's Charles Mathewson. As we said, tonight the race is for the Plymouth and Norfolk Senate seat. That's currently held by Republican Patrick O'Connor. Thanks for joining us here tonight. And we've got a Democratic challenger, Paul Gannett. Thanks for being here as well. And we have, And we've got a write-in candidate, Stephen Gill, right here from Marshfield. They're all on the ballot for the general election for November 8th. Now, if you don't know if this is your district, Plymouth-Norfolk District is comprised of the towns of Weymouth, Hingham, Hull, Cohasset, Norwell, Scituate, Marshfield, and Duxbury. Same format that we just used before. We always use the same format. We ask the candidates to have opening and closing statements prepared. They can be as short as they want, but no longer than 2 minutes, please. Then we have a round of questions from our reporters, including the famous lightning round, where the answer is either yes or no. And as we tell folks, no, yes, or no with an explanation or any kind of soliloquy. It's yes or no, and or two sentences tops, the reporter will ask. And if there's enough time, we can have the candidates ask each other a question or two. We have Amy timing this. Hello, Amy. She's the holder of the construction paper. And again, let's review. Green means go. Red means stop. Who can guess what yellow means, even though it's Massachusetts? It means 10 seconds. Doesn't mean go faster. It means
hurry up.
Yeah, I know. It's Massachusetts. I'm just trying. But here in my little kingdom that I control, this means yes, go, yes. Wait, I mean, go, stop, and 10 seconds. All right.
Got it.
And if you go too long, that's right. All right. And we can also turn off your mic. So that is the way we do it. Just try to set the rules straight. I always tell people, just try to channel the meanest fourth grade teacher you ever had at the beginning, and everybody seems to fall right in line. Now, we pulled the names out of the official WATD newsroom koozie right before we went on the air to determine the opening and closing order. We're going to start with Patrick O'Connor. Then we're going to go to Paul Gannon, then Stephen Gill. We will reverse that order at the end. So let's begin now with opening statements from our candidates. Good evening, Patrick O'Connor.
Thank you, Christine, Kevin, Charles, and to WATD for hosting this forum this evening. My name is Patrick O'Connor, and I've been the state senator for the Plymouth and Norfolk District, which is essentially the South Shore, since May 18th when I got sworn in just over 4 months ago. And immediately we got to work. My 11 years of municipal experience in the city council in Weymouth, as well as 9 years up on Beacon Hill working for our former senator, now Mayor Hedlund, allowed me in the first 24 hours to file 58 amendments to our state budget. These amendments paid real dividends to this district, including the record amount of local aid that we're receiving in Chapter 70 money, as well as a record of local receipts that we're going to be receiving this year as well. I gave my maiden speech on the floor of the Massachusetts State Senate on Veterans Affairs, a commission to end veteran homelessness, which was passed, adopted by the Massachusetts State Senate. And really, this has been an honor and a privilege. The past 4 months, being able to go out to the South Shore and meet with residents and business owners and farmers who are experiencing massive droughts, to meet with local officials, has been a true honor. And to see and ask them basically one question: what can state government do for you? How can we help? How up on Beacon Hill can we help the average everyday person who is trying to navigate state government to the person who's struggling to pay their bills? How can we create good paying permanent jobs here on the South Shore? I believe that my past experience is 11 years in the city council, as well as 9 years in the building, and my 4 months of just getting started as your state senator, I've proven the ability to work together, cross the aisle, be an independent voice for the South Shore, and produce results and the representation this district deserves. So I ask for your vote. I look forward to the questioning, and I ask for your vote on November 8th.
Thank you very much. That was Patrick O'Connor. He's a Republican, and he is the incumbent. Now we're going to go to Paul Gannon. He's a Democrat, and he's challenging Patrick.
Thank you, Christine. Kevin, Charles, I want to thank you and WATD as well for having me here today. This is a great opportunity for us to be able to share some of our views on some of the most important issues. I think the reason why I'm running is I have a passion for public service, but I believe I'm the most qualified candidate in the race today. As a husband, a father, a small business owner, and an elected official, I think I have the right mix of government, business, and life experiences to do the job that's needed to be done in the state Senate. and understand the issues that are important to us, like what, being a homeowner and paying property and business taxes and providing quality educations and facing the high cost of tuitions for our children. I think I'm uniquely qualified in terms of my life experiences to do that. I just want to let you know a little bit about me. I live in Hingham. My wife's name is Susan. I have two beautiful daughters, and one of them is at Providence College presently. And I'm presently a selectman. Served on the school committee before that. And in a prior life, when I lived in South Boston, I was a member of the Massachusetts State Legislature. So I have a lot of experience, a lot of history, a lot of voting experience in terms of what needs to be done. I have a good working experience with a lot of the folks up on Beacon Hill. And as a Democrat, I think I can bring a lot of the proceeds, local aid, back towards the district. Contrary to some of my opponents who have spent most of their time, and Mr. O'Connor in particular, in public service, I think that being a small business owner, a parent, and an elected official gives me a unique opportunity to represent this district, and I look forward to it, and I ask for your vote on November 8th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Paul Gannon, Democrat for the seat. Now, Stephen Gill, you're a writing candidate.
Yes. Hi, Christine, Kevin, Charles. Thank you for having me here tonight. Good to see you again, Patrick and Paul as well. As you know, in the past, when I've come here and done forums and other interviews, I've sort of ad-libbed. Tonight, I actually have prepared a written opening statement, so I'm going to go ahead and read from that. My name is Stephen Gill. I am the independent candidate for State Senate for the Plymouth and Norfolk District. I am a write-in or sticker candidate, as Christine just said, so you will not see my name on the November 8th ballot. South Shore voters who want to vote for me on November 8th will have to write in my name, Stephen Gill, and my address, 104 Webster Ave here in Marshfield, on the ballot, and then you'll have to blacken the oval next to my written name. Or, if you prefer, you can simply get a sticker from any of my volunteers who will be positioned outside the polling places throughout the district on Election Day. Voters can bring the sticker into the voting booth, apply it to the ballot, and blacken the oval next to the sticker. The sticker also will include step-by-step instructions on how and where to apply it on the ballot and for blackening the oval next to my name. A little bit about myself. I'm essentially a lifelong resident of the South Shore. My family is from Hingham. I grew up in Hull. I'm a former Weymouth resident and homeowner in Weymouth. I'm a current Marshfield resident and homeowner. I am a father, like Paul, and I also have two daughters. They attend Marshfield High School. Like Paul, I also am an attorney and a small business owner. I operate my own law practice in Scituate. I previously have served as Deputy Secretary and General Counsel for the Massachusetts Department of Veterans Services under Governor Deval Patrick, so I understand the ins and outs of Beacon Hill, and veterans can feel reassured that I'll be looking out for their interests. I am a veteran and a Lieutenant Commander in the U.S. Navy JAG Corps. I have served in combat zones in Afghanistan and Kuwait and many other locations around the globe, including onboard U.S. warships on the high seas. I prosecuted terrorists on foreign shores so folks here at home can hopefully live safer lives and enjoy the fruits of liberty. And now that my 20-plus years of military service is coming to a close and I'll be retiring next spring...
5 seconds.
I am looking to continue my service by running for the state senate position.
Thank you very much. That was Stephen Gill. You just heard the opening statements from the three candidates. Now let's go to questions. Kevin Tachi, question for the candidates.
We'll start with Patrick. Patrick, you've been in your elected position as state senator for a short time. Answer specifically what you have done for your district in that time in office.
Sure. Thanks for the question. We secured over $500,000 in earmarks through the state budget process. This ranged from every single one of our eight communities getting additional funding for local projects. We secured a record amount of Chapter 70 money to send back to each one of our eight towns, getting the most money they ever received from state government to fund education. Unrestricted government general aid is the highest level it's ever been. Another a huge amount of money that is going to come back to cities and towns. We secured over $500,000 in the Economic Development Bond Bill, $250,000 for the Rotary and 3A in Hingham, as well as $250,000 for flood repairs down in Brant Rock to create better flood areas. We were able to be placed on the Education Committee, the Economic Development Committee, the Housing Committee, Global Warming, Labor Workforce, Personnel Administration, Municipalities and Regional Government, and we have become a voice for the South Shore and the State Senate in a short period of time. One of my proudest accomplishments is being able to help over 1,000 constituents with issues that they had as far as potentially losing their house to issues and concerns that they had on matters of legislation pending before the state legislature.
Thank you very much, Pat. That was Pat O'Connor. Let's go to the next question.
For Paul. Yeah, Paul Gannon. Paul, you're going to get a unique situation as of the primary. We know that Joe Moschino was the one who won on the ballot. We know that Brian Cook was also on the ballot as well. Did you have some kind of an arrangement with the state Democratic Party but before the primary race that guaranteed that you would get the party nomination, even though that Mr. Cook did had a respectable showing and was on the ballot?
No. Do you want me to...
Yeah, elaborate, yeah.
Well, there's nothing to elaborate. I made a decision not to do a sticker campaign. I thought it was disadvantageous for me to do so. So I basically had been campaigning for 14 months, and the state committee knew that. And I didn't know how the results were going to turn out, but I obviously had a strategy that worked. I had Joe Moschino finishing first and Mr. Cook finishing second. At that point, it was up to the state committee to make a decision. And I will say that I had no idea how the process was going to work, but I will tell you that I was very impressed because it was very open, it was public, and the questionings went on for over an hour, and we sat side by side, Mr. Cook and I, and they listened to our questions. And I don't know if it was unanimous or not, but I did get a call and let me know that I was the choice of the state committee. And frankly, I wasn't surprised about that. Based on my experience and qualifications, I felt like I was the best chance to bring the seat back to a Democratic seat.
So you basically think it's fair that he was on the ballot, you weren't, but you were chosen because you had the better answers?
Well, I think it's fair when you have a system that's set up ahead of time and that you abide by that system, whether it favors one or another. I don't know. I think the most qualified candidate is the person that gets the job, and they succeeded in doing that.
Okay. Mr. Gill, question for you. You have a unique situation as well. You were on the ballot for the Republican primary. You lost to Patrick O'Connor, yet you're still a candidate in this race. Kind of explain the situation to voters.
Sure, and I'll remind voters that I actually beat Patrick here in Marshfield during that primary, and I think I took half the precincts over in Duxbury, so wasn't a complete beating from Patrick here. But I thought I did fairly well, considering, one, I was an independent running on in a Republican primary who did no campaigning and raised no funds, and I filed a lawsuit against the Secretary of State. I also was in the press telling people, please do not vote for me on September 8th. And yet they voted for me. So here I am running a sticker campaign. I was hoping to be able to prevail in that litigation, which actually is still pending, and it's going to go on for some time now. I was hoping to have a preliminary injunction entered by a federal judge to allow me to appear on the ballot as an independent candidate, which had always been my intention. The trouble was the way that the state law for party affiliation, disaffiliation was applied in the special election, and it dominoed into this general election. I was unable to make the transition from Republican to unenrolled due to the way that law was applied. That's what the basis of the lawsuit was.
If I can ask a follow-up
Sure.
question, that is, what are you hoping to accomplish in regards with this candidacy for November? Is it a hope for name recognition? Because usually sticker campaigns are difficult to run. So
sticker campaigns are incredibly difficult to run, and especially if you're an independent. That's why I'm sure Paul didn't run a sticker campaign.
So what are you
hoping
to accomplish by running the sticker campaign?
Well, for one, I'm hoping to be your next state senator. Knowing that it is very difficult, and when you are an independent person who is not affiliated with a political party, it's even more difficult. I like to think I do have some name recognition, and obviously would like to continue to do that. But the goal here is to continue my public service after 20 years military service. I'm looking to continue that in the capacity as your next state senator here for the Plymouth and Norfolk District.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates here in the Plymouth and Norfolk State Senate seat. You're listening to a political forum here on WATD 95.9 FM.
As a legislator, you don't have executive power. You need to work with fellow legislators. And the legislators from Boston or Springfield or New Bedford may see this district as Weymouth plus the affluent Irish Riviera that has sufficient means of its own. So let's begin with Mr. Gill. How do you bring home the bacon when the urban districts just need some bread?
Well, I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't do what Mr. O'Connor did on his first day in office and vote to for a Massachusetts constitutional amendment to increase personal income taxes on people who are making $1 million or more. you know, what we need to do is to encourage businesses and business people to in the district to be able to expand their businesses and to help out the tax base here in the district by encouraging economic growth as opposed to trying to stifle it. I mean, who are the folks who are making $1 million a year or more? You doctors, lawyers, financial folks, engineers. These are the people who comprise the Irish Riviera. And those are the ones who are now going to be possibly getting a surtax of 4%, which the Department of Revenue has said will increase taxes by $2 billion. That doesn't help the district at all. What you should do is you should look to improve the roadways into the district so that, one, it will help commuters who need to get out of the district to go to work, but also to encourage businesses to come and want to actually invest in the district.
Thanks.
Patrick, you have some experience in the legislature as Bob Hedlund's main guy. What do you do to work with other legislators to make sure that this district is number one?
Well, I think we have done that. I mean, we got in right at the budget process, filed 58 amendments on behalf of every single one of the communities, these eight beautiful communities that I represent. We secured $69 million in Chapter 70 money. We secured $18 million in unrestricted general aid that goes to police, to fire, to roads, to DPW. We have been able to do this by working across the aisle, by talking to other legislators about the priorities of our district. And one of the biggest things that we have facing us right now in this district is the opioid crisis, that we were able to increase the Bureau of Substance Abuse 8%. That money is going to directly go back to our cities and towns to fight this opiate epidemic, for education, and to continue what we need to do to see this through to the end and to hopefully live in a South Shore without this crisis affecting us. We were able to secure $1 million, $500,000 in the economic development bill, $500,000 through the budget. Those are huge numbers that are going to pay huge dividends for our district, and I believe we have been able to bring home the quote-unquote bacon, but as I like to say, bring home the money for our cities and towns to grow their economy.
Paul Gannon, you have some experience from your dark past in the legislature. How do you work with other legislators to negotiate for your district?
Sure. I think one thing that Mr. O'Connor is missing in the equation is it's the Democratic Senate and it's the Democratic House, and it's those folks that have brought home the bacon. And I give credit to our elected officials down here in the South Shore in the House. And no disrespect to Patrick, he's only been there a few months. But I think what you do is you not only have to have the trust of your constituents and the people you've made promises to, but you have to have relationships with the people in the legislature. And I've already, from my past bright experience in the legislature, have a wonderful working relationship with a number of people up there in a position of authority, like the Speaker and the Senate President. So I certainly know my way around. But one thing, if you're gonna tout your record and you've only been there 4 months, you have to keep your promises to people. In an unprecedented move, Pat O'Connor lost the endorsement of the AFL-CIO because he didn't vote and fulfill his promises to working men and women. I think that's unheard of. It's shocking, in this coastal district that we have, he's also voted the third worst senator on environmental issues. In 4 months, that's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you.
May I briefly respond to some of these attacks?
Yes, you may.
Well, first off, as far as the not that the state representatives are bringing home this aid. If you look at some of the aid that was received in the House compared to the Senate secured far more aid than our other representatives had. As far as the losing the AFL-CIO endorsement, I think having it as a Republican was unprecedented, and they, are able to rig, so to speak, their scorecard in order to prevent us from getting the endorsement. But I am proud to have the sheet metal, the sprinklers, NAGE, the plumbers and gas fitters, Massachusetts and Northeastern District Labor Council, Norfolk County Labor Council, which is the largest labor council, laborers, Carmen's Union, nurses, firefighters, teachers, Police Benevolent Association, independent businesses. We have these endorsements because we have kept our promise to working class families. We have kept our promises to make sure that we continue to grow and build our economy and have it be done by people who get paid a fair wage, who make sure that they have the health care benefits that they need, that they get the retirement they deserve. And I forget the last attack, but I think it was on the Environmental League of Massachusetts. That's the same thing.
I'm sorry.
Can I respond briefly to that?
Well, you just had a minute. He responded to you.
Right, and I'll just take 30 seconds.
Well, no, because let's wait and go back, because this is just going to turn into back and forth, and you can say that when you ask each other.
I thought I could respond.
Well, you didn't get extra time. He's responding to what you said.
Right.
And I want to go to the next question now.
Sure.
If you feel that you didn't get to answer a question fully, you can always use that at the end. But I want to ask another question. I want to start with you, Mr. Gannon.
Sure.
If you win the state Senate seat, will you resign your seat as Hingham Selectman? Also, you still have a law practice?
I do.
What happens to that, and what happens to the Hingham Selectman seat?
So two things. With my law practice, obviously, I would scale it down and turn over some duties to another attorney, obviously. Regarding the selectman's position, I said this previously with the special, is that I will stay as long as they need me until they can fill another position. And if it comes to be that they need me through the budget process through May, then I will stay. It is, in essence, a volunteer position, but I would not abandon the town of Hingham at that critical juncture if they needed me.
When does your term end?
May.
Okay, all right. Stephen Gill, what about your law practice? What if you get elected? What would you do?
Well, I'll do what I always do. As a Navy reservist, I've been recalled to active duty on a number of occasions where I've had to pack up my business literally in less than 60 days, kiss my family goodbye, and go off to a combat zone. So generally what I do is I turn over my active cases to other attorneys and colleagues or friends of mine, and ask them, of course, with the consent of the client, to go ahead and take on the representation for me of these clients, so that they can have their rights enforced and not be penalized because I had to go, you know, fight for the country. But I actually have an intention of hanging up my law books, I guess, so to speak, and treating this as a full-time position. Previously having worked at the Massachusetts Department of Veteran Services, I know that there was a lot of work to do, particularly to advance veterans' rights, and so I know that'd be something I'd be interested in doing on a full-time basis.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, Pat. What needs to be done for affordable housing in the district? Is 40B part of the answer or not? 40B seems to evoke an emotional response from just about every community. What do you think?
Well, 40B is not the answer. I think that 40B has been tried, has been tested, has been failed. What we have right now is a situation where developers are able to skirt costs and basically take away money from individual municipalities that should be getting it. The cost certification aspect is completely flawed. The audit process is completely flawed. And one of the amendments that I actually submitted to the zoning reform bill, which only passed in the Senate, and I was proud to vote against it, and what the amendment that I proposed, which was voted down, would have made the audits of every single 40B project known and required the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to audit these projects. This was something that our former Senator Hedlund had done, and we actually audited, I believe, 10 projects, and the Inspector General, then Gregory Sullivan, said that it was one of the grossest abuses of profit theft that he's ever seen inside of our 40B laws. It's broken. We definitely do need more affordable housing, especially for our returning veterans and our disabled veterans and our aging veteran population. And that's something that I look forward to working towards as your state senator.
Okay, thank you, Pat O'Connor. Now, Kevin Tachi, question for candidates.
We'll start with Mr. Gill. Your website says you have a plan to offer business incentives for jobs. How do you propose to do that as a state senator?
Well, and thank you. That website is it's a pretty cheap website, as you know, since I hadn't raised any funds and I'm not spending money for websites. It's actually being updated as we speak. But one of the most important things, and I touched on this just a little while ago, in order to bring business and business incentives into the district, is to improve the roadways. That this district is very difficult, particularly Hull, parts of Hingham, Cohasset, certainly, and much of Scituate. Is isolated from Route 3. Now, you can't have business incentive and business growth without some kind of improvement of the roadways in order to bring not only potential customers into the district, but also for the goods to be brought into the district. Now, one of the things, and you probably will not have heard this from any of the other candidates or anybody, I don't think, in any time, but what I would like to do is to look into doing a study to see about putting a parkway through Wampatuck State Park from Queen Anne's Corner to, as they have up in Blue Hills. There's a beautiful roadway that runs through Milton and all that.
Your time's up. Sorry, that was
a
minute.
To allow a roadway to be built.
Good. Mr. Gannon, you talk about state funding and grants to help boost businesses in the district primary Weymouth. What state funding and grants are you talking about? And if they are available, why wouldn't the former and current state senator not have utilized them?
Well, I can't speak firsthand for why Mr. Hedlund would not have availed himself to funding. I know that in terms of what I was speaking about was the critical need in Weymouth for purposes of funding. And really, it's not just business, it's everything. It's education, local aid. I think we can do a lot better job than we have been in terms of getting grants. From my experience in Hingham as a member of the Board of Selectmen and also on an Industrial Development Committee, there are funds out there, state funding, for not only for roads, for economic development. We've utilized some funding here to expand the roadways, to make the area around Derby Shops more appealable to business, and we're working to get more businesses in there. So I assume that we could use the same strategy with Weymouth.
Are you talking like community preservation funding or something like that?
No. The community preservation funding that we've used is either for affordable housing, and there's a set aside for that in Hingham, and also for open space, which I think we just set aside 50 acres of land, which happened to be protecting of our aquifer, which is a very important environmental issue in our local community. And that's why I spoke to Mr. O'Connor about the importance of being supportive of environmental causes. We're coastal communities in terms of the Weir River watershed. We're very much plugged in that as a senator. He should know that. So to get the third worst voting record in the Senate is very disconcerting. And a lot of people have brought that issue up to me in Marshfield, Duxbury, and Hingham recently.
Patrick, my question to you, what needs to be done for small businesses in the district? What needs to be done?
Well, I think that what we have going on right now at Union Point, former Southfield, former South Weymouth-Naval Air Station, is a great first step. This is going to be an economic engine that's going to create jobs, it's going to create businesses. I was very proud to support the economic development bill, which includes $743 million for small business and statewide commerce. And we talk about roads and we talk about grants that my opponents have mentioned. They may be mentioning about the $330 million we were able to secure in the economic development bill for the Mass Works program, which allows cities and towns to apply for these grants to do the infrastructure that's needed to improve roadways so that we can continue to see further progress. Just in my 4 months of being in office, we had $6.5 million secured for the East-West Parkway, the continuation of that at the former South Weymouth Naval Air Station. That's going to generate revenue, for my opinion, for the entire South Shore. We're able to get continued infrastructure and projects throughout the entire district, work with cities and work with the city and towns in order to communicate with DOT, to talk about their priorities, to close that gap that has sometimes been there, and to make sure that we deliver for this district in infrastructure, because it unlocks economic potential.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to Charles Mathewson. Questions for the candidates?
This is largely a coastal district, with the exception of Norwell, which, as we know, desperately wants a beach.
They do have the North River.
That's true.
And a harbor master.
Yeah.
But no beach.
First of all, do you accept the reality of climate change, Patrick?
Yes.
Stephen?
Oh, absolutely.
Paul?
Yes, I do.
How should the legislature help coastal communities cope with sea level rise when it's not a concern for Stockbridge?
Well, I think that what we've been able to do has been very impressive, which is to raise awareness. And you see what's going on right now in the news constantly of, you know, just coastal communities getting ravaged by storms and the deterioration of the coastal infrastructure. I'm proud that we were able to secure $225,000 for seawall repairs in our district since I assumed office. I went down to Scituate and looked at the seawall repairs there that had been taking place as part of the dam and seawall repair fund. I was placed on the Global Warming and Climate Change Committee, and one of the things that I do there is monitor the Global Warming Solutions Act. I was able to put forth a commission which passed in the Senate to move forward on rapid transit, which includes J-Pods as well as Elon Musk Hyperloop. That's zero emission based transportation. It's looking towards the future, reducing our carbon footprint and making sure that we can do as much as we possibly can for our coastal communities as far as infrastructure improvements, securing money, and helping homeowners, especially with flood insurance.
Okay, thanks. That was Pat. Now,
Stephen Gill, as the legislator, how would you help this district cope with sea level rise?
Well, I think there has been a great start, which was undertaken by the towns of Duxbury, Marshfield, and Scituate a couple of years ago to have a study conducted to actually figure out what the needs are with respect to abating sea level rise. we're not going to stop the sea level from rising. I mean, the technical term is glacio-eustachian oscillation, which is the rise and fall of sea level due to the ice caps melting and reforming and melting and reforming. But the problem is that we are not having it reforming. We're having melting every year in the global ice cap. In the North Pole region is just continually getting smaller and smaller, and I'm sure you've heard about this in the news and in other programs. But to say seawall, that's not the right answer. I mean, if you've actually taken a look at the studies that have been done, there are a number of coastal sea level rise structures that need to be put in place with proper studies, like groins, weirs, seawalls certainly in certain locations, and jetties. But you can't just put a wall up and spend taxpayer dollars and expect to keep Mother Nature back.
Thanks.
Paul Gannon, what about sea level rise in this coastal district?
Well, I think both of my opponents have spoken to the topics that I think are very relevant in terms of how to approach it. But, and I can tell you in Hingham that we have been working very closely with state officials to get grants to improve. And I think seawalls is an important issue because obviously that's one way of stemming the tide of the flooding. We've had a study done that shows us over a period of time, unfortunately, our waterfront area could become flooded and become businesses could be damaged and less productive, and we have all kinds of, you know, activities that go on in there. We're just negotiating a project at Barnes Wharf, which is right on the water, so that we can allow our young kids who have a fantastic state rowing program to utilize town property. So we're trying to do all that, but we're planning in advance. We're spending the time now to look 20 years down the line. So if you try to combine the fact you're getting funding on the state level to do certain things like we're doing down there, but also have a municipal cooperative effort to try to plan ahead so we can use our resources wisely.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to ask you gentlemen each a question, and then we're going to go to our lightning round. Regionalizing more services for the district, such as other states do with police and fire. They don't always do it by every town has a police chief and a fire chief and a department. Sometimes they do it by township. Sometimes they do it by county. Do you think it's something you would ever consider, or do you think it will maintain that third rail status? Paul Gannon.
So I think regionalization has some merit in certain areas. I know that we have a response, a 911 response, it's regional. And I will tell you that there has been some problems, and maybe there are just kinks that need to be worked out in terms of its implementation, but there have been a lot of grumblings about it. I certainly want to, I will tell you one thing in terms of regional effort. One of the things I started with was a substance abuse prevention coalition in Hingham. And what we wound up doing was working with Hull, Cohasset, and Norwell, becoming the coastal connection, and then working with Scituate, Marshfield, and Duxbury. So certain things work on a regional level. That is so important, and I'm so happy to be a mm-hmm. part of it. But in other areas, such as police or fire, I'm more comfortable in keeping it on a local level at this time. But they all, of course, the fire departments all work cooperatively as we speak. So I think there's certain areas it works well and certain areas that we'd rather leave it be.
Okay, what do you think, Stephen Gill? What do you think, maybe more regionalization, or should every town have their own police and fire departments and chiefs, et cetera?
I think that the system we have in place now it should not be tinkered with. I like the idea of each city and town having its own police and fire department just because these type of social issues that arise and require policing and so forth are really best handled by local folks at the local level and not necessarily by our, you know, you wouldn't have the state police, which would be, you could say, a regionalized police force that comes in and deals with issues that your town and city police deal with on a regular basis. It really, community policing is really the best answer for dealing with crime. When I was at the Department of Veterans Services, we did try to, there was a big push. Deval Patrick was really pushing for regionalization of a lot of services. We tried to do it with Veterans Services. I actually authored a publication that was called, dealt with the idea of regionalizing Veterans Services, and it was determined that it really would not function.
Okay, thank you. Same question, Pat O'Connor. What do you think?
I think everything's working right now in our municipalities and going and talking with the fire chiefs and the police chiefs about what they do and talking to the officers on the front lines, many of whom are on officers and firefighters on the front lines of the opioid crisis. There's obviously some regionalization that can be done in buying power and things like that, but as far as regionalizing our police and fire, I would say no. I would say unless the towns came to me that they'd talked together about it and this is something that they really wanted to do, it's nothing that I would ever push for. I think our municipalities are big enough that need their own individual police forces and fire departments.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to lightning round questions. Now I want to start with the question of Common Core. For or against it, Stephen Gill?
Against.
Okay. Paul Gannon, Common Core, for or against?
Against.
Okay. Pat O'Connor, for or against? Against. All right. Kevin Tachi.
Would you ever support a vote for open road tolling, Mr. Gannon?
No.
Absolutely not.
That's Mr. Gill. Mr. O'Connor?
No.
Charles Mathewson?
We've talked about the impossible transportation infrastructure in this district, so I want to ask, when driving, do you listen to audiobooks, podcasts, music, or radio? Paul Gannon.
Radio.
Stephen Gill.
Pandora, through my, which is a podcast type thing. Yeah.
All right.
The radio.
Okay. Let's see. What's in it for the local voter if you're elected? Two sentences. Stephen Gill.
You will have an independent, a true independent voice representing you and not towing party lines.
Okay, what about you, Paul Gannon? Two sentences. What's in it for me if I vote for you?
If you're elected to me, you'll have an elected official that keeps his word, keeps his promises, works hard, and will do a great job.
Okay, Pat O'Connor.
To continue to provide the representation that this district deserves in the Massachusetts State Senate and be an independent voice that doesn't pander to special interests.
Okay, thank you very much. One more, Kevin.
I'm going to go with the bottle bill. This is a bottle bill question. Multiple choice. Finish the sentence. The bottle bill needs to A, stay the same, B, be updated, or C, be eliminated. Mr. O'Connor.
Stay the same.
Mr. Gill.
Abolished.
I'll say updated. I'm sure there's some improvements that can be made.
Okay, one more lightning round question. Charles Mathewson.
Staying on the theme, when driving, have you ever shouted at people who don't pull over for an ambulance? Paul.
No, because they probably couldn't hear me, so I'm not the type of person that screams at anybody, but I certainly am not happy.
All right. What about you, Stephen Gill? Are you a shouter, screamer in the car?
Not necessarily with ambulances, but for other reasons,
I
yes.
I like the qualifications. Patrick O'Connor, shouter.
No, internally, maybe.
Okay. All right. Any more? If not, we're going to give you folks this is the part where we like to give you folks a chance to ask each other a question. And I just want to make sure that we have enough time to do this. Stephen Gill, do you have a question for Mr. Gannon or Mr. O'Connor?
Sure, I have a question for Paul.
Okay.
Paul, knowing that the Democratic Party just handed you the nomination for the state Senate seat and you didn't run in this past election, you realize that the party's going to expect something back from you, like towing party lines. How can you say that you'll be an independent voice for the district when you owe the Democratic Party so much for what they just gave you?
Well, I disagree with what your premise. So the bottom line is anybody that knows me, that knows my time as a selectman, as a legislator, I've always been very independent. What you see is what you get. So I don't have any problem telling people no. I will tell you that back in the early 90s when the legislature, Democratic legislature, wanted to take away some workers' benefits on workers' comp, I was one of the few Democrats that said no. So I've done that many times. And I've also stood up to any special interest when I introduced a bill called the lockout bill, which protected gas workers from being denied unemployment benefits while they were being locked out. And people tried to sway me, and I would not, because I'm a person of principle, and I stand up for what I believe in. So it's very easy for me to do what I think is best.
Okay. Now, do you have a question for Pat O'Connor? Stephen Gill.
Sure. Patrick, you have made a lot of statements during this forum in which you claim that you have supported veterans and have done a lot of work for veterans. I'm wondering, do you remember when I was at the Department of Veterans Services and you had sent an inquiry over to me and you and I had some communications in which you had asked for some assistance for a veteran in the town of Weymouth, but you didn't articulate what those needs were, and I spent the next 2 months texting you and writing you and calling you and trying to get you to provide me that veteran's address, phone number, contact information, and what we were supposed to do to help him, and you let that veteran hang out to dry and did not get back to the Department of Veteran Services so we could not help that veteran. How can you say you'll help veterans when that's your record, as far as that I know of, with trying to help veterans in the district?
Pat? Well, first off, I have no idea what Mr. Gill is talking about in regards to this. And, you know, I have been very proud of my record with Veteran Services, whether it be helping veterans that call our office on a, you know, almost weekly basis that need help with the VA, whether it be the issues that we dealt with in the HOME Act that we just passed to continue to increase veterans' benefits, whether it be the tax breaks that we were able to receive that I wrote as part of the Municipal Modernization Bill that will help incapacitated veterans keep their real estate abatements. And that, by the way, passed conference committee, got signed by the governor, and is now law. What Steven's talking about, I have no idea. I don't recall this at all. I don't recall meeting or seeing or talking with Mr. Gill at any point in time prior to his entrance into this race, so I really don't know.
Okay, now let's go to Paul Gannon. Do you have questions for the other two candidates in the race?
Sure. For Mr. O'Connor, I'll go first with you. Mr. O'Connor, could you tell folks specifically, because I've been asked the question, I don't know the answer, in terms of your educational background, after high school, where did you go to school? What degrees did you receive?
Sure. I went to Kingston University in London, England, after my time at Weymouth High School, graduating in 2003, and I left Kingston University in 2005 and ran for office in the town of Weymouth at 20 years old.
What degrees did you get, though?
No degree. I left university.
You left before you graduated?
Correct.
Okay. And a question for Stephen Gill?
Stephen, you made a decision to run as a write-in candidate, and from what you said, I assume you've changed parties to an independent. Is there a reason why you didn't want to stay a Republican?
Well, yes, and I'm not in a party. As an independent, it's a small I independent. There is no independent party. There is a United Independent Party, but that's not what I am. I'm an unenrolled candidate. Yes, as a as someone who has the beliefs of fiscal conservative ideas and beliefs in how government should run, I've come to have an understanding about my political maturity that I share some of those ideologies with the Republican Party. However, at the same time, I am a social moderate, and I share a belief with, I think, your party, the Democratic Party, that government should stay out of people's personal lives and not try to legislate lifestyle choices for people. So my political ideologies don't necessarily fit squarely in the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, and with me, you get the best of both worlds.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, Pat O'Connor, do you have questions for the other two candidates?
I do not. I've always stayed firm in this, that I believe it's a time to attack candidates, so to speak, with questions. So I always defer.
Okay. Let's go to closing statements then, and we're going to start with Stephen Gill and then go to Paul Gannon and Patrick O'Connor. Stephen?
Thank you again, and thanks for having me tonight on the forum. I'd like to thank both Patrick and Paul for their contributions here tonight. Again, I wanted to reiterate to folks who may not have tuned in at the beginning, maybe you are watching Big Poppy right now in what could be his very last game of this, as a Red Sox. But again, my name is Stephen Gill. I am an independent candidate for State Senate in the Plymouth and Norfolk District. I am a write-in or sticker candidate, so you will not see my name on the November 8th ballot. I ask South Shore voters, if you are interested in having a candidate who is a fiscal conservative and a social moderate, who will not toe party lines, will be an independent voice for you and answerable to you and you alone as a voter in this district, then I respectfully request that you write in my name and my address, which is 104 Webster Avenue, Marshfield, on the ballot when you go to vote on November 8th. If you do not want to write in my name, you can always grab one of my stickers from any of my folks who will be positioned outside the polling places. Apply that sticker to the ballot, blacken the oval, and submit your ballot into the tabulation machine. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was Stephen Gill. Now we're going to move to Paul Gannon, your closing statement.
Thank you. Again, it's Paul Gannon. I'm a Democratic candidate for State Senate, and I respectfully ask for your vote on November 8th. I'm going to use my time now to make a response to Mr. O'Connor because I didn't have it earlier. He made a comment that the labor leadership somehow brigged the system, and I assume that means fixed the system so that he wouldn't get an endorsement. Let me tell you that they have a system set up, which he knows well. He voted at least half the time against union interest, and he made promises and to people that he filled out questionnaires that he would respect and work and protect working men and women. He didn't do that with his votes, and it had nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with Mr. Gill. The AFL-CIO specifically said you don't meet the criteria. I know you were upset about that, Pat, but you don't meet the criteria. So nobody fixed it. And I will tell you that the working people that I've met, some of whose leadership may have endorsed you, because I have endorsements myself, know that you didn't vote to protect working men and women and it through this AFL. The word has got out. And the rank and file people, the actual people that vote, are coming my way. And I'm getting calls from people in the different unions that you say that endorse you. And they're coming to me. They're looking for signs and they're looking to support me. So you might have somebody in a position that you're telling them that you're going to do what they say. But if it comes to veterans and seniors and working people, education, if your word's not good, if you're not going to do what you're going to say, if you make promises, if you fill out questionnaires and you make promises to people to protect their interests, and then they dump you basically because you don't do that, please don't blame the decent, hardworking labor people that make decisions, because at one time they thought you would live up to your billing, and because you didn't, because your votes didn't, don't blame them for not getting their endorsement.
Okay, that was Paul Gannon, his final statement, and we're going to go to the incumbent, and that's Republican Pat O'Connor.
Thank you very much. You know, what Mr. Gannon brings up is the endorsement and the scorecard of two special interests. And I've always said since the very beginning that I do not pander to special interests. I vote on behalf of the district. I don't believe in the Democrat and Republican divide that's going on right now. I believe all it's doing is weakening the middle class and strengthening these special interests. What I want to do is I want to continue my work as the state senator for the South Shore, continue to represent this district and bring it home the aid that it deserves. Go up on Beacon Hill and fight for the issues that matter to this district, veterans affairs, senior affairs, infrastructure. And when all said and done, the most important and core responsibility of this job is constituent services. I know full well of my 9 years working for Senator Hedlund and 11 years as a municipal elected official that the best thing that you can possibly do and the greatest satisfaction that I get in my job is helping somebody on a day-to-day basis. And we're able to do that. Because when somebody's in need and somebody wants to contact our office, we are there. I've assembled an excellent team of people who work with our communities, who work with our individual residents to provide solutions to their problems. And at the end of the day, it's not the things that are gonna make the headlines, and it's not the things you can attack people on, it's the little things that matter when you're up in the state Senate and you get that phone call from somebody who's going to lose his or her house. Those are the things that matter. And as far as the AFL-CIO, I'm proud to be endorsed by over 15 unions right now. That's something that matters. I don't know what my opponents are endorsed by or what the rank and file are saying. All I know is that I'm out knocking on doors and people are saying we're behind you because you're an independent voice and an independent vote for the South Shore. And this is something that really makes a difference. And another attack was that I've been in public service too long. I believe in public service. My grandmother worked for Tip O'Neill. My great uncle was a town administrator right here in Marshfield as well as in Scituate. I believe in this. This is in my blood. This is something that matters to me. I wake up every single day a very happy man that I can represent the South Shore, knock on the doors of this beautiful district and represent the people up there and be their voice.
Thank you very much. That was Patrick O'Connor. You've been listening to the three candidates here for the Plymouth and Norfolk State Senate seat, the incumbent Pat O'Connor, Stephen Gill, a write-in and independent, and Paul Gannon, the Democrat. And, of course, we'll bring you the results on election night, November 8th. Thank you very much, Kevin Tachi, for asking questions. Also, Charles Mathewson and Amy with the cards. Thank you very much as well. We're running just a little bit late. Appreciate you listening. You're listening to 95.9 FM in Marshfield, the South Shore's news and information station. Remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. We'll be back after this.